From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Jeannie Yandel. This past year, the iconic record store Easy Street Records on Queen Anne closed and was replaced by a Chase Bank. Over in Ballard, the 63-year-old Viking Tavern shut down so developers could build an apartment complex. And on Capitol Hill, the independent movie theater The Egyptian and the coffee shop Bauhaus are closing their doors. Does all this mean Seattle is losing its character? Anne Moudon is a professor of urban planning at the University of Washington, and she's here to help answer that question. Thank you for coming in, Anne.
You're welcome.
So, first of all, let's define what character means. If we define character as having a lot of well-loved, sort of third-place local businesses in a neighborhood, what happens when a neighborhood keeps losing those places?
Well, you would say then the neighborhood loses at least part of its individuality.
How do local businesses like that create a sense of character in neighborhoods?
Well, you're mentioning sort of special businesses in the sense that they are pretty much the destination. So people from other neighborhoods would, you know, go to them. But these businesses also depend from, you know, truly local businesses that are only used by people in the neighborhood. So you're talking about a special breed of businesses that still needs local businesses around in order to survive.
So businesses that aren't necessarily destinations, but
exactly.
are sort of supporting local businesses.
Exactly.
How do those contribute to a neighborhood's character?
Well, first of all, they populate the street. So people go to them usually, you know, walking, biking around. They keep track of who's passing by, what's happening, and they have the news. I know some people, they go to get their coffee in the morning to get the news. Hate to tell you, they don't listen to radio. They go to the local coffee shop. So these businesses you're mentioning are very interesting because they're not like malls that are destination.
It almost sounds as though you're saying the supporting local businesses, the places where people go on a daily basis, those are more important indicators of a neighborhood's character. Am I interpreting what you're saying correctly?
Yes, that's one aspect of character. Character is one of these very loose words. It's like community. We use community for everything.
I'm talking with Anne Moudon. She's a professor of urban planning at the University of Washington. And we're talking about character. Character in a neighborhood, character in a city, which you've just acknowledged is a pretty fluid term if we don't define what it means. We're sort of operating with the definition that character is defined in a neighborhood or in a city by strong, longstanding local businesses that people frequent. How do you define neighborhood character?
Well, you know, in my realm of work, we look a lot at housing type. So you have the mix of housing types as defining neighborhoods. So you'd have a single family, sort of primarily single family neighborhood versus mixed apartments, condos. So if you have mostly condos and apartments, for instance, you're likely to have fewer kids than you have in a single family neighborhood. So that's generally how we define neighborhood character. And going there, if you look at housing types, the big difference between these types is density of development. And one thing we have to realize is density is a dirty word, but actually it's what we need to support local businesses.
You talked a little bit about housing type defining character in your professional life and who lives in what kind of housing helps determine a kind of character. So how does gentrification inform character in a neighborhood or in a city?
Well, again, gentrification is one of these quote-unquote loaded terms, right?
Fair enough.
Generally, gentrification is used for people sort of coming with more money, more resources coming in and sort of taking over a neighborhood, pushing the rents up or the price of, you know, goods in the neighborhood up. Gentrification is necessary in the sense that we can't have only poor neighborhoods, but it is a very delicate balance. And one of the things I like about my neighborhood, by the way, is that if you look at the census tract, I live between Blanchard and Lenora. It's actually a low-income census tract. And I can tell you in my building, there are very few low-income people. There are, but very few. But we have assisted housing next door, and the city worked hard on that to keep lower-income housing in the same neighborhood.
I'm talking with Anne Moudon. She's a professor of urban planning at the University of Washington. We're talking about character. What makes a city's character? What makes a neighborhood's character? It's a fluid word. There are lots of ways to define what character means. But in terms of the city of Seattle overall, how does Seattle compare to other cities in terms of its character?
Well, it's a broad question. There are many cities that have varied neighborhoods like we have. But one thing we can be proud of is that we have kept different neighborhoods with different, quote-unquote, characters. So we have to accept that new people will come because we are pretty good.
And new people coming may actually be a sign that we're successful at this.
That's right, but it also means some gentrification. So there's no miracle, you know, in terms of a neighborhood. Things don't stay static. Things move.
You talked a little bit earlier about some of the things that Seattle, for example, or any city can do to incentivize local businesses and to try and, if we're defining character that way, sort of keeping character in that way. Overall, what kinds of policies can a city develop to try and encourage neighborhood character in that way?
One thing that is a kind of a problem in Seattle is that we tend to overzone for commercial. So there are too many choices. And I'll give you the example that a lot of the businesses that are now in South Lake Union used to be in Pioneer Square and Pike Place Market or Belltown, restaurants, the furniture stores, and so on. Well, it was a recession, so there was not much economic activity. But still, you have to realize that once you have a new neighborhood or you add some commercial zoning to a neighborhood, you're going to have some, you know, movement. And so you're essentially taking the economic vitality of one neighborhood and taking it into another one. And so we have to be very careful. And what is hard to realize is, for instance, in terms of zoning, a place like Wallingford along 45th, so if you take the area of Wallingford, there's about 6% of the land zoned for commercial, only 6% of the land. In many newer neighborhoods, we zone 10 to 20% of the land at ground for commercial. So that means that, you know, those are big attractors. And when you have new neighborhoods, also the developers try to entice people to come in. And so they give people a good deal to come into the neighborhood, right? So reducing the amount of commercial zoning or retail zoning would be quite important if we don't have to have too much retail flight, I call it, you know. So that's one way we can do it. We can also encourage smaller commercial areas because that's what local businesses can afford. You know, anything above 10,000 square feet is typically not a local business. And then I think people can also themselves be much more aware of how their own behavior in terms of, you know, consumption can actually affect the kind of neighborhood that they have.
I'm talking with Anne Moudon. She's an urban planning professor at the University of Washington. And we're talking about neighborhood character, city character, what contributes to that idea of character and what detracts from that idea of character as well. I wanted to ask you about Pike Place Market. They just recently released drawings for a really big waterfront expansion, and it's supposed to connect with the waterfront park along Elliott Bay as well. How do you think this is going to affect downtown Seattle's character? This is your neighborhood, after all.
You know, downtown is quite vibrant and has a mixture of people. And I would say, interestingly enough, since the mid-2000s, has more middle and lower income people coming to visit than it was before. Before there was, you know, the poor and then the richer. Now there's a big mix of people. It's very vibrant. And so, but again, you know, adding commercial is always kind of an issue. So I'm not sure, and I don't know enough about the market to know what it will do. But certainly the Pike Place Market itself is always full.
How do places like Pike Place Market and the Space Needle, those tourist attractions that Seattle is so well known for, contribute to this city's character?
Well, Pike Place Market is really fascinating because in the 70s or in the late 60s, the city of Seattle wanted to demolish it because it was old and rotten and be replaced by hotel and office and big parking garage. And now when you think of it, Pike Place Market is like the number one tourist attraction. Some people think that it's too successful. The market is not what it used to be. There are too many local markets now. And it's true that, you know, I'm one of the few people that has a little carry bag when I do my shopping. And then I have to argue with the merchants so that they don't charge me the tourist prices. So I argue about, you know, 10 cents on a banana. But again, you have to be used to change.
Anne, thank you so much for coming in and talking with me.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Anne Moudon is a professor of urban planning at the University of Washington. We talked about the idea of character in neighborhoods, in cities, how to define it, how many different ways there are to define it, and how character is found and created within neighborhoods in Seattle. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Jeannie Yandel.